love to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. It's been a blessing to be here with you again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we thank you, Father, that we need no other argument or another plea. Lord, that Jesus died. And Jesus died for me. Again, we just thank you for all that you do. We ask that you'd forgive us where we fail you. Lord, help us be faithful to you. Lord, fill us with your Spirit and give us wisdom, Father, as we open your word. Lord, help us hear what you would have to say, Father. Again, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I'm going to read some here in Proverbs, and then we'll probably want to use some of what Chad used in his the text there. So let's start in Proverbs, verse 14, or chapter 14. Verse 1 says, "Wise women build houses, but those without discernment destroy them with their hands. He who walks uprightly fears the Lord, but he who is crooked in his ways will be dishonored. From the mouth of a man without discernment comes a rod of arrogance, but the lips of wise men guard themselves." I want to just kind of look at these just a minute. Wise women build houses, but those without discernment destroy them with their hands. It's trying to lead into, you know, we've seen people who have just destroyed their houses, and those who build them, and that is what we ought to be trying to do. That's the focus there, is building. And then he goes into some more details here. But a wise person builds. And, you know, it's easy for us to sit back and tear things up. And I think that's what he's trying to get at. But whatever we're doing this, we're either building or we're tearing down. And I guess one of the things I want to bring out is that the people we're with, or the home, or anywhere, we're all a part of the same thing. And we can either be tearing that down or we can be building it up. And it's just, what we don't realize a lot of times is we're on the same team. And I don't know how many times, you know, we look at it in politics that whenever there's somebody that's actually bent on doing evil, they'll lay down all of their other issues and focus on unity so that they can promote their evil. And I've just noticed whenever there's something good going on, the people just, they fight, they divide, they just cause all kinds of problems and never get anything done. And evil wins because of that happening. I see it in churches. I mean, talked with a man this week that in a plain church, and he was just lamenting why churches can't get along. And, I mean, just complaining about it. And I said, you're exactly right. The thing about it is the shape the world's in, and the evil that's coming all around us and coming towards us, this should be a time when churches draw together and build and strengthen themselves. And yet, it's just divided all over the place. And it just over the silliest things sometimes. Instead of being able to work together, there's just this, where there's just these things that keep being brought up that keep us, that show us our differences instead of what could be, and working together against a bigger cause than ourselves. And I think that's the whole thing. Looking at the goal we're shooting at. If we can keep our eyes focused on the goal that we need to be obtaining instead of our own selfish little things. And that's what I think this is, brings out later. That people get divided because of their own selfish interest instead of looking at the whole picture and building the house. I mean, when we look at the church is not just one person. The church is a group of individuals. And what makes a church is when everybody just does their part. And that's what makes a beautiful church. And that's the same way with a home. That whenever we're striving for the same purpose, and that's to build a godly home, a safe place to raise our children, when we just all have that, keep that focus in mind, and the little things that I think, right or wrong, in my own opinion, if we'll just leave them alone and focus on that ultimate goal here. I think that's what it's trying to share there. He who walks uprightly fears the Lord. And we've talked about this fear. You know, I don't think it's just where we're trembling and scared to death of God. But there's, he who walks uprightly fears the Lord. What the Lord says matters. And it's important to us. And if we're going to walk uprightly and be right, what he says outweighs us, outweighs our opinions, outweighs our ideas. And I think that's where that fearing the Lord is letting his opinion and letting his ideas just put mine in their place. And I think that is where the fear comes in. But he is crooked in his ways will be dishonored. From the mouth of a man without discernment comes a rod of arrogance. And I think this kind of brings us out that from the mouth of a man without discernment comes a rod of arrogance. When we are not fearing the Lord and in our proper place, we become proud. And out of our mouth, it shows this rod of arrogance. And, you know, whenever we think of the rod or in this context, it's something we can take and use against somebody else. It's a rod of arrogance. And that comes from we lose sight of being an upright man and a man that fears the Lord, and we lose sight of that. And instead of getting humbled by being on our own, it lifts us up and we get proud. And that's where this arrogance comes from. We just begin to think, you know, that song we sang, I need no other argument, I need no other plea. But Jesus died. And that's all I need. And, you know, we look at ourselves and we make things way too complicated sometimes. We overthink things. And, you know, if we will see that Jesus dying for us and actually take hold of that, and that just takes everything that I am out of it. And instead of, you know, the idea is that we live by faith, you know, and that Jesus died. And what is being said is true. But the faith part of it goes much deeper than just the mental ascension. The faith part of it comes when I truly see that I am absolutely nothing. And what Jesus did was everything. And when we truly see that, that humbles us to the place where God can actually do something in us. And the difference is, a lot of times we're just pretending He's doing something in us instead of actually being in that place where He has done something in us and can do something in us continually, because we see ourselves as we truly are. And so, I mean, the doctrines, I think, that a lot of the churches present about faith in Jesus dying and His resurrection, that's, you know, there's nothing technically wrong with that. It's just a matter of the depth of where it goes. If it only goes in our head, you know, the saying is faith, real faith is the difference just between a few inches between our head and our heart. When it's a false faith that we have, because Jesus died for me and I'm saved, when it's a false faith there, what that does is make us proud, puffs us up. And to think that I'm really something, or I've really accomplished something, which is not seeing ourselves as, I am nothing and Jesus died for me. But when that faith trickles down and gets a little deeper into our heart or into our soul, into our being, it shows us who we are. And we have no other argument. We have no other plea but that Jesus died, and Jesus died for me. When we get that, that produces this fear of the Lord that helps us to be a righteous person, a godly person. And you know, it's not anything that we've done ourselves other than seeing ourselves as we really are and who we really are. And God is who He is and who He really is. And I think that's the, I mean, that, you know, people fight and argue about doctrine all the time, but a lot of times, spelled out on paper, the doctrine is all about the same. But it, that distinction, that 12 inches or that 1 foot difference between just having it in our head and having it in our heart, is a great difference. And the evidence of that is, you know, where we're really at is, where do I see myself in all of this? Do I see myself as having an argument about not building? Do I see myself as having a claim? Or do I see myself as absolutely nothing? And God is everything. And I think that's the evidence of some of these things, the choices that we make from some of these things, is from the mouth of a man without discernment comes a rod of arrogance. I mean, we allow this self-elevation to rise up, and we choose a wrong path. And from that, the rod of arrogance comes, and the lips of wise men guard themselves. I want to skip over here. Verse 7 says, all things are contrary to a man without discernment. All things are contrary to a man without discernment. This has a little to do. I mean, we feed this. You know, whenever we just feed this dark outlook all the time, what that does is feeds on itself, and all things become contrary. Everything is bad and black, and it makes us without discernment. We don't have discernment when we get down, we go that way. We can't go that path. You know, these paths that we choose and take, we are on a road. And in our minds and in our hearts, there's a road that we see the direction we want to go. And there's little things along that road, that little arrows that point this way or point that way, or point this way. And a lot of times they're little dark clouds. And so we see this little arrow pointing towards this dark cloud. And so we think, well, I'm going to take that little dark cloud path. And pretty soon it just gets darker and darker and darker. We saw that it was a dark cloud path. The arrow was pointing towards a dark cloud. But we chose it anyway. And so we walk down this dark cloud path. And then it gets darker and darker and darker. And we wonder, what? How did it get here? And then we think back and we decide, I don't want to be here. So we have to come back and get back on this road again. And then a few minutes later, we see another little sign in the road. It's got the dark cloud. So we go running down it again, over and over and over and over again. We can't do that. That leaves us without discernment. That leaves us where we can't reason and can't think straight, because it's all dark and cloudy. The path that we want and the path that we see, we know what it takes to stay on it. But we keep falling for these little tricks that come our way. The wisdom of astute men will know their ways. See, here's the wisdom of an astute man will know their ways. In other words, we'll learn by walking down this path what leads us down these wrong paths that we don't want to take. We're making our own path. And an astute man will learn, well, wait a minute, I'm not going to fall for that again. That sign points this way, and I've done that over and over again. I'm going to start recognizing that path before I get as far as I went last time. The wisdom of astute men will know their ways. They'll learn their path. You know, we tell children to, or parents to learn their children. So you can see, you know, if they start having that look in their eye, we know where they're going. We know what they're doing. Learn them. They have that little thing that they do or whatever. We just learn. Uh-oh, I know what he's thinking. You know, we can see it right in their minds from a little. We can know what they're thinking. You don't have to be a mind reader. You just got to know them. And we can learn our own path the same way. And a wise man will study that and learn that and take the time. You know, a good thing, you know, people waste their time. The boys were talking about that. But a good thing is to know yourself and to know what leads you down those wrong paths and to learn to not take those detours. But the folly of men without discernment is in their deceit. You see, what this cloudy non-discernment does, when we don't know ourselves, we take these paths and we deceive ourselves, thinking that this path is going to take us to a different place. You know, the idea that the definition of insanity is making the same choices over and over again, thinking that it's going to lead us to a different result. It won't. And when we learn that and accept that, we can really begin to change it. The houses of the lawless are due for purification, but the houses of the righteous are acceptable. If the heart of man is controlled by feelings, his soul is sorrowful. You see, some of those little cloudy paths or those arrows that determine are just feelings. And we allow ourselves to be, we choose this path or we choose that path just simply on our emotions or our feelings. You know, all we have to do is look at the generation today, the world, the snowflakes that get offended by the they're living by their feelings. And we look at them and they have their meltdowns and just have a screaming fit because somebody disagrees with them. That little pathway that we, when we begin to follow and allow our emotions to choose our path, that's the first steps to the snowflakes, to being a snowflake. You know, our goal is to build rocks. Our goal is to build rocks that the snow might be on them for a while, but it melts off in the sun. They might get wet for a while. You know, the weather rock, you've seen it. The weather rock, if it's wet, it's raining. And if it's swinging back and forth, it might be because the wind's blowing. And, you know, that's a weather rock. We need to be that rock that the weather can do whatever it wants to, but we're going to stay in the same place. And the way you do that is to learn not to be controlled by your emotions and your feelings, to allow them to detour you down a path that you don't need to go on. If the heart of man is controlled by feelings, his soul is sorrowful. But when he rejoices, it is not mingled with arrogance. There's that word arrogance again. When we see ourselves as absolutely nothing, we can become something. But when we begin to think that we're something, we become nothing. It's one of those paradoxes. You know, people think that actually applying what the Bible says is not faith, because you're proud of your works. But being in this place where we see ourselves as we really are, and so we fear the Lord and put into practice what He says, instead of being a prideful thing, it just continually shows us where we are. Anyway, I want to turn over here to this chapter 28, Wisdom of Sirach. I just really appreciated this. And the parallels that it has with what Jesus taught. Verse 28, chapter 28, verse 1. He who seeks revenge will find it from the Lord. This, and he will surely punish his sins. And it says, forgive a wrong done by your neighbor, then your sins will be pardoned when you pray. This is one of those things that if we forgive sins, we'll be pardoned when we pray. See, this is all in our hands. Forgiveness of sins is in our hands. When we can't forgive or won't forgive, we always can forgive, but we won't forgive. All we're doing is just saying, God, I don't want forgiveness for what I've done. And that's what we'll get. But when we can let that go and we can forgive, God does. It's just that simple. He who seeks revenge will find it from the Lord. You know, I've seen people that have lived their whole life just planning and waiting to revenge some of the things that they've done. Well, they will find the answer to their revenge. The Lord will give it right back to them. We don't have to have the vengeance of the Lord against us. There's a remedy for that, and it's called forgiveness. You know, it does not matter what anyone has said or done or says to you. Continual, whatever they may be. Whatever they may be saying that makes us mad or whatever. The problem is not theirs. It's ours. The problem's not what somebody's done to me. The problem is what am I doing? Am I letting what they've done to me turn me down a road that takes me off of the path that God wants me to be on? The path that leads me to building in righteousness and godliness. We focus on what somebody else has done to us. That is an arrow pointing away from the path we want to be on. Begin to recognize that path. You know, people, we all do it. We've all have this area in our lives that we're tempted with where someone has done me wrong or done you wrong or done us wrong. And you know, we try to forget it, and we go down the right path for a while, and then all of a sudden the thought comes back into our head, and we go right back to that crossroad again, and usually take the wrong road and say, I'm going down this road now, because I'm justified for doing it. I'm right. That is the arrogance of deceit that he was talking about. And it'll lead us right down the wrong path we don't want to go down. You know, have you ever had an argument with somebody in your own mind? You know, they did you wrong or they said something, so you, that argument begins to build, and you have the argument and you tell them off and you set them straight every time. In your own mind. Do you know what I'm talking about? You win the argument every time, don't you? Well, that's one of them paths. That's one of those paths. And you may think you're winning the argument, but all the while you're marching down that path that's the wrong path. But you're the winner, right? Wrong. You know, just catch yourself when you see yourself arguing with somebody in your own mind. You're on the wrong path. That's not the forgiveness path. Forgive a wrong done by your neighbor, then your sins will be pardoned when you pray. Can a man preserve wrath against his neighbor and still seek healing from the Lord? Here is the key to healing. You know, we talk about forgiveness, being set free. Healed would be a better word. You know, when we're delivered from these bondages and these things that come upon us. Right here is the medicine for being healed. You know, these things happen to us, and these things, they keep happening. Right here is how we're healed from this. Can a man preserve wrath against his neighbor and still seek healing from the Lord? Can he show no mercy toward a man like himself and still beg God for mercy for himself? We know the answer to that. We can't. If he, being flesh, keeps his anger continually, who will atone for his sins? You see, the longer we hang on to things like that, being wronged, and rightly so in our own mind, it don't matter how right we are and how wrong the other person is, we're on the wrong road. They've detoured both of us that way. Because right and wrong in the situation has nothing to do with it. It's the choice you do with it. Whether you let it go and forgive, truly forgive, then you can find that healing we're looking for. Remember the end of your life and cease from enmity. See, here's again, what's our goal? What's our focus? Remember the end of your life. And, you know, what's it going to matter at the end of our life whether someone did or said something wrong to me or what? You know, Jesus, he was right. And everyone that hung him on that cross was wrong. And if he would have went down that road and began to think how right he was and how wrong he was being treated, we would have no one to atone for our sins. Wouldn't be there. Because he was right. It's not a matter of the right and wrong done to us. It's the right to forgive and let it go. Remember the end of your life and cease from enmity. Remember destruction and death and stand fast in the commandments. Remember the commandments and do not vent your wrath against your neighbor. Remember the covenant of the Most High and overlook faults. See, if we would learn this commandment, you know, we can break them down however we want. But if people would learn this one, we'd go a long ways to being down that right road. Remember the covenant of the Most High and overlook faults. What's the covenant of the Most High? Overlooking faults. If we could get that one down, you know, the thing about it is when we look, we can see everybody else's faults, but we hardly ever see our own. And if we do see our own, we don't put them in the same category, and we don't treat them the same as we do somebody else's. Remember the covenant of the Most High and overlook faults. May the Lord add his blessing. Anyone have anything you'd like to share?
appreciate it a lot how Jesus was teaching his disciples and trained up the parable of different things. Mary had about the parable of the king and the man who owed a lot to the king. And he had made that decision, the king did, to forgive him, but the man made his own decision. Mm-hmm. He destroyed his little fellow.
Bless y'all. We'll meet back here at 6 o'clock, Lord willing. God bless you. Part and peace.